to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Welcome once again to the program. And I was saying in the first hour, by the way, you can go to fhu.com and listen to a refeed, fhu.com is my website. And I was saying there's the classic precursor to dictatorship is to promote immorality. So immorality is opposite to morality. And one is beautiful from God, and the other, immorality, takes pleasure in destroying the moral ones, hoping to bring them over or to kill them, as you see in the Hitler world, in the ISIS world. They hate the innocents, hate it, is terrified of it. And it's important for you to come out of your hypnotic state caused by stress and emotion and cruelty and injustice. You cannot overcome it with anger. It only allows, if you're angry about that, if people are angry with you and you're angry back, they may be only angry because they want to upset you and they want to make you doubt yourself. And once that happens, it can never stop until you find the truth that sets you free. Do you understand where I'm coming from? And so, I give you the phone number. It's a few minutes before we start the program again. And we have another, this is the second hour of the Roy Masters program. And I've been on the air for many years. And my purpose has been always, to the degree I was allowed to share, because the media that Donald Trump is engaging in has been in America for 80 years, slowly but surely multiplying themselves and shaping universities and schools and teachers and the stinking music that looks like, smells good. I say if you are in hell and violets and beautiful flowers and roses drifted into hell, it would poison you. You couldn't take it. See, what I'm trying to say, evil hates good. And parents are much more evil than they think. Because when you're evil, it's very hard to see your evilness. See? So let me give you an example. I give you one example. Do you get upset when your kids don't do as they're told? Do you lose your patience? Patience is opposite to impatience. Patience comes from God. Impatience is anger. So you've got to be careful to understand that the only way you can be impatient is to realize that you have lost who you are and that you are destroying your child. But your impatience is a force. It's an angry force that forces a child to see what's wrong with him when there's nothing wrong with him. But now, once you get upset and the child gets upset, then there's something wrong with him. Then you're justified and you don't see anything wrong because he doesn't stand up to you like, if you did that to me, you'd fall back on you'd faint. It's very powerful. So you've got to be careful what you understand. And you must realize that if you have been impatient with your children, it's the opposite to patient endurance. This does not mean that, for example, that if you are patient, the child will automatically love you. No, he will test you. I will share it with you. My daughter, I will talk about that in a minute. I'm going to be taking calls.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, just take this number, 800-866-8883, and call me Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. And this is the second hour of the program, and in the opening of it, which you may have missed, I was talking about being impatient. And in the first hour, I was talking about emotions. And so one of those emotions is impatience. And now you have a loving mother. And this loving mother is not loving, but she has something that represents love. She's a good mother. And how does she see herself as a good mother? It is because she had a bad one. And so she had two choices, to become like her mother and be mean and cruel, which in her little heart as a child would recognize that, and be beaten and having cruelty done. You know, making it difficult for your life and confusing and confounding you, your little this and your little that. So you can actually make up your mind, if you survive that, that you're going to be the best mother that a person could be, which is a nice thing. But you don't know what better is. That's the core, because the minute you start to get upset, you've been destroyed. You can't expect to experience the bombarding of an angry mother. Or father, whoever, but mother. Let's make it one point, and it applies to everybody. And so, you decide when you get married, you're going to be your best mother. So your two things are going to happen. You're going to love too much. That's going to be what's the matter with you. And when you love too much, the child would experience a what appears to be a benefit. He experiences that he thinks that's love. It isn't. It's manipulation to get him to make sure that he's not going to be, or she's not going to be like she was as a child. So she gives a false goodness. False. It doesn't. It looks on the surface as good, but you love your baby too much. You love your children too much. And the tendency is for children to do one of two things. To be affected by that. Get a high. A feeling, a high. And the energy coming through you is powerful. It's seductive. And it pulls one kid in. And one kid rebels. He feels it. and he runs away. So many things can happen. You take the energy from your children by giving them things and getting loyalty and love. But one feels the pull and runs, or tries to run, or gets to run sooner or later, and mother tends to run after that one, and so. The one that she loves is addicted to the love and is obedient to it. And the one that is rebellious is the one that gets angry. And he doesn't understand why, but he can see that it's not real. And then you get impatient with that one. And that one runs. And as soon as he gets old enough, he runs away. The other one cannot run away because she's addicted to mother's approval and not God. You see the difference? And so now let's take the word patience, endurance. I can tell you a little story, and the story is like this. It's a real story. I don't make them up. My daughter, Diane, had a son that was he's angry, and she gets impatient. And what happens is that impatience is called willfulness. And this the kid responds to that willfulness with rebellion. And the other possibility is she loves too much, and so if you believe that she loves you and you feel better, you've got a different God. In other words, she loves you, but that love is poison. And you don't see it as poison because it becomes adapted to it. See, it doesn't free her when you love her too much, and it gives you a good feeling. And as long as she's there giving you a good feeling, she'll be nicer to you. And the child doesn't have to do anything for herself after a while, as long as she obeys mother. Mother's playing God as to what good is. The real mother has real love. She's not resentful. She's not too good. She's not too bad. She's just gently enjoying the pleasure. There's a certain magical pleasure. Now, the word pleasure is a bad word. I don't think I have a word for it, but a satisfaction from seeing the child playing with toys and being mischievous in many ways. But the way you speak to the mischievous is with a special voice. Uh-huh, stop that now, please, thank you. But if she doesn't stop, be careful not to be angry, because then you start to be angry, and that is a problem. And if the child does what you want him to do for afraid of your anger, then you've lost the child one way or the other. Why can't you just enjoy the fact that the baby is beautiful, the child is beautiful, and that it has some kind of willfulness, perhaps, and that you understand that the way you speak to the child has to have a certain authority. It can't be, oh dear, she wouldn't be that way. Oh, I don't think I can't remember how you do it, but it is. You're too nice. And there's something wrong with being too nice. It allows too much. It spoils. It projects. And you get two kinds of people. One's a rebel and one's addicted to mother, all the way to the grave. You can't say no. You can't run. Because the God you're looking for has come through your mother. And the one that and takes you away from the Father. And more, yes, and that is another point. Because the Father has a problem too. She's only nice if she gets what she wants. And she gives him a hard time to get what she wants. And the man, between that, you can actually play both roles if you want to. See, so you've got to be careful of being impatient because niceness doesn't work like it should. And then you get angry. And now you've really done it. And then you try to be nice again. And it reward obedience. That could happen to you any time in your life with our people. What happens with your mother and father continues as a continuum with other like people that take the place of your mother and father. Pretty soon you find yourself as you get older in their shoes, and it goes on to the next generation. And so I'm giving you a phone number. I didn't expect too many calls because the subject matter the subject matter is disturbing. But the purpose is it's meant to be disturbing. You are one of two roles. And you can put a different face on it. And you can be insecure, very insecure, but look like you're strong. Except when a stronger person comes along, you're finished. And you can be insecure by being too nice. Because once you start to be nice, you get people to love you. And so, isn't she wonderful? That's what you're waiting for. Oh, it makes you feel so much better. And so unconsciously, you're actually you're making that person a God, making you feel better. But it's only a feeling. It's not real. It's a feeling, it goes away. And then you have to have another feeling. You feel empty. But you're being emptied. Having to be nicer to people. And then you pretty soon you give everything the shirt off your back. And that still doesn't work. Then you get bipolar. You get the goodness turns to anger. And the anger gets you what you want for a while, but then you're not happy with it because it doesn't satisfy. Neither one satisfies. Whether you get what you want or not get what you want, whether you're bullied or have your way, it will still haunt you. If people love you too much and you feel high, like the dope addict is the extreme of it, something rises to the occasion of his need. And his need is an emotional thing. So you're picking up the emotion and the feeling that the drug or the pusher or whatever it is without a drug. You can be a pusher without a drug. Get what you want. A person will give in and appease. That is living off somebody else's life. Like the dope pusher. You're a pushover. And we can't have America like that. What you need, I'm trying to get in the second hour, is to get you to realize that you have half the country that's spoiled rotten. Half the country is spoiled rotten and hates goodness. And even if they seem to be nice, they're not. You just have to get to know them. They can put every kind of face on. So there's two kinds of people in America. One are driven by dark forces, represented, carefully placed people in the name of Marxism. That's the name of it. The power to demoralize you, and so that eventually the whole nation is demoralized and owes its allegiance to the bully. Okay. So the classic precursor to dictatorship is to promote immorality. Because in promiscuity and license as if it was freedom, from broken homes emerge tyrant fodder. Tyrants create wimps who in turn become pet tyrants and make wimps. A dog-eat-dog military chain of command one day. Be careful. So let me just complete the idea. I've got something I'm reading just a little bit from here. I put it on my desk, so it's more succinct. And here it is again. This is my own writing, of course. I'm not doing so much lately, but it catches up with me. And it's more sophisticated sometimes when I'm... But also something is missing is me, spirit in me. But you can tell when I'm reading. And you can tell when I'm ad-libbing. Now, the ad-libbing is better. But I still have to, I'll be ad-libbing from this too. Every word I read brings to me a better way of saying it. All right, you ready? The classic, I was saying this a few minutes ago, the classic precursor to dictatorships is to promote immorality. You understand that? And promiscuity and license, as if it were freedom. From broken homes emerge tyrant fodder. Tyrants create wimps who in turn become tyrants that make wimps. A dog-eat-dog military chain of calm that will come to pass if you're not careful. And there's a way of dealing with this. Now let me stop here. Let me stop here because on the left, you have people who are bloated with confidence, which isn't real. It's driven by forces they don't understand. See? And those forces encourage it and glorify it and glorify not having any virtue, because you can have all the pleasure, all the rights you want, and you can take it. That's what happens in ISIS, that's what happens in Germany. See, there's only one right, and there's wrong. And so what you need is virtue. See, and so there's only two truths. Virtue, not mechanical. Okay, careful now. Virtue must not be mechanical. It must be not natural, but I changed the word here. Not natural, not from nature. Because you can pretend the world is a stage, as Shakespeare said. The world is a stage of men and women merely actors. They're hiding what they are. And if you like them, if you like their behavior, the behavior gets worse. The person inside the behavior is what tends to get a good feeling from it. But it's not a good person. It becomes a worse person because more dependent upon the giver of that compliments, those compliments, you see. You've got to be very careful, you see, not to judge a person good or not to judge a person evil. You see, and the same with your children. Don't love them, don't express love. If you express a love, it's an emotional state. And if a child responds to that love, he responds to it as a violation. Too much love. I love too much. That's what's the matter with me. Isn't that, you heard that before? So you've got to be very careful not to project love as an energy. It could be a stress to a child who sees you, sees through you. He still has perception, and you don't. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. You see. He sees, and he perceives. And the little one that is addicted to you, to your goodness, or appears to be, has lost it. But the one that still has it is getting upset and more complicated because he's doing the right thing. He wants freedom from you. He doesn't want to be the extension of you as you are the extension of what did it to you. So you've got to be careful and be a very patient, whether you've got to be a very patient mother or father. Patience is not reacting. Patience isn't just tolerating something. Patience is endurance. Endurance, so the children is naughty, then you just wait for them to get better. Let me give an example, a living example, and I meant to do that in the first hour, missed it. 800-866-8883. So my daughter had a little boy named Luke. He's now 22, 21. And so he just wanted to go. What he wanted. And Caesar didn't know how to stop him crying. And he kept on crying and yelling and saying bad names to his mother. It was just when he's small. I said, all you do is sit quietly and let him do it. You let him get away with it. Scream, yell, and just be patient. And he wears himself out. And so it went on for several hours. And all of a sudden he wore himself out. And they went up to his mother and said, hey, Mom, I'm sorry. I don't know what got into me. That's very, very interesting. Because what was in him was in his mother. So his mother did the right thing. See, he loved her. She loved him too much. Or she was too much of an authority. One of the two. But in that silence and not being angry, that's what I said. Let him vent. So let your enemies vent. And treat them as like naughty kids. See? And let it be permanent. I'm saying this to my fellow Americans because you are going to be tried. They are going to come out, they're going to be organized by George Soros, and there's going to be a civil war, and you can't fire the first shot. The whole purpose of on Saturday and Sunday. I don't know if it's still going on. But these people are sick, really sick. They hate goodness. They hate a real man. It's enough to hate a boy. Women can actually hate their own children. They can actually hate their husband and hate the boy that is a man. My wife hated her father and projected it on me for 56 years. And she's just beginning to realize it. And she got broken because of it. She's getting better. I am very patient. 56 years. We're married. Is it 56 years? Yes, 56 years. Is it 52? Yeah, 64 years old. I forget now. But anyway, it is trial, tribulation. I don't lose my cool. She gets better. I get better. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't go away.
Look at your eyelids.
Oh, here I am again. I hope you can hear me now. My name is Roy Masters, and I'm sharing with you what is wrong with you. You're all emotional. You got judgments, and judgments turn to guilt. Why? Why is that? Because judgment is mine, saith the Lord. And then if you have goodness, and you will display goodness, and you forgive everybody that does wrong to you, and you go along to get along, and then it's the same thing again. You are forgiving God. So therefore you feel better. So if you judge, and you're too nice, you forgive. You forgive the worst kind of people. You let them get away with it. So how do you not let them get away with it? See, it's a pickle. And so emotion is a two-way street. Bipolar is a sickness like that. One minute he's angry and he's judging. And the next minute he's playing God by being loving to everyone. Isn't that God loving everyone who wants their love? And then you have people have contempt for that love, and that makes you angry. Or that kind of love doesn't really work for you, because you feel you're giving up your life forces, and that causes cancer, etc., etc. Or people taking advantage of you and making you feel more anxiety than ever before. It's not working. And so I'm suggesting you go to my office. Call my office and be still and know. There's three others: pain, fear, and stress. Now, these will be available in a couple of months free of charge. Everybody on earth is going to take a lot of money to get it out there. And so if it works for you, if it works, this is the way it's going to be. It isn't this way now. Well, we could make it this way now, but we are not ready. As a matter of fact, I shall make it this way now somehow in the next week or so. So if you don't want to... So it only costs you $10. So it's very inexpensive to get Be Still and Know. That will basically help you cure everything that's wrong with you. Everything. It's not for everybody, because it doesn't work for wicked people who love wickedness. So you don't expect it to work. You don't expect it to believe what I'm saying. But I say to you, like the universe was created from practically nothing into practically everything, and so does your wickedness grow, and beauty grows in opposite directions. So where was I now? I'm saying support my program. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Could you do that? Call the office, 800-877-3227. 800-877-3227.
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, the program's almost over. Another half an hour. But we got Tim on the line. Brave person. Hello, Tim. How do you spell that? Oh, Ken. Is it Ken? Sorry, I'm listening to my producer.
I can barely hear you.
That voice, is it?
Yeah, I can barely hear you on the phone.
Oh, so something's wrong with the system. Okay, go ahead.
I can hear you a little better now.
Go ahead now.
I find that there are certain people that try to intimidate me at work.
Oh, that's very common. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
If I speak up to them, even just a little, not being upset, I find out this kind of intimidates them.
Oh, that is wonderful. And you don't know how wonderful that is. But you see, what they do, they try harder to upset you. And if you keep your ground, if you just hold your ground and not say anything, see, you don't want to get involved with a war. What you need, there are time for you to speak. But when you see a person annoying you for no good reason, they want you to get upset. The key for you is to look at them like they're walking furniture. That's a talking furniture. And just leave it that way.
There was a person that, at my same classification that I was working with, he was being very intimidating with me and getting right square in my face, right up next to me. And I just stood there, and I just kept looking at him. And now I consider that person my best friend.
There you go.
I don't associate with him.
That's fine.
I heard your son say something once, David, that when you're at work, just pay attention to what you're doing and to my thoughts, and the other people are being so intimidated, they kind of leave you alone.
That's correct.
And if they don't, it seems like they do fall away.
That's good. So why are you calling me? You got the key.
I'm calling you because I'm not that good of a person in my personality. You see.
Oh, can you hold it there? Can you hold it there?
Yes, I can.
All right. With all due respect, all you need is continuous practice, meaning, no matter how come long they do it, you endure it. And even when they come to you with you with a fist, you still look at them, and they put their fist down, and they walk away forever. Now, if it comes to fisticuffs, which is rare, if you do it right, almost impossible for them to hurt you, because the hurt of not getting you to react, not getting the pleasure of your reaction, has backfired on them, and they have full of fear of you. They don't know how you do this. So, but if it comes to fisticuffs, you will see, and I see you have a nice voice, strong voice, you're not no weakling. You can swipe them before they do you. As I was in a big store, and I wish I could remember, Gimbel's, I think it was, and I was giving my display of diamonds and how diamonds are cut, and it brought lots of people. And one of the employees said, I'm going to wait downstairs until this is the second time it happened with somebody else. And I said, look, I don't look like I'm strong, but I'm much stronger than you think I am. I said, you wouldn't do that to Joe Louis. You know, Joe Louis was a famous boxer in those days. And I said, you wouldn't say that to him because you're a coward. But you look at me and you think I'm weak, and you think I'm, well, whatever it is you think. And maybe you don't like because I'm Jewish or something. So, but I'm much stronger. So when we got downstairs, it only took about a few seconds. And I picked him up and I said, I apologize. I didn't mean to want to hurt you, but you shouldn't have lifted a hand towards me. Let me take you to the coffee shop and let's have a nice talk. And we parted friends. That's it. And so, but rarely comes to that. As a matter of fact, that's at one point, it never happens at all. Once you get so good at being decent and really good, the power inside you is so strong of your presence, they walk away from you.
Even though in some areas I'm still so weak?
You're weak? Did you say weak?
Yes.
Well, yes, what do you mean? What do you mean weak?
Weak.
Yes, but it seems like you said that you've succeeded in getting one person to be your friend, correct?
Yes.
Well, why not do it forever? Why not never stop?
At one time, he got right in my face.
That's
and
right.
And he says, hit me.
That's what's going to happen to the when we have a civil war. Listen carefully. The liberals are going to come, and intimidate us to fight back. It isn't because we're afraid. It's just we just look at them and smile, and it frightens them. See that? They want you to react. They want you to react, then blame you for the problem. That is that's the key. That's how they play the game. In other words, you can't arouse me. I have to tell you, I'm an old man. I'm 89, 2nd of April. And in all my life, I've never lost a fight, except when I started one. And I got broken rib, because I got too cocky. And I said to my kids, serves me right. See, and there was a reason why I had to go see this person. And it made me to make the first strike. And so I've never done that again. I've always been patient and but patient, not feeble. Patience with a strength that you cannot get break into my emotional self. You cannot put your emotion into me. I put something into you by not disabling you to put something into you, so you get upset by trying. You become afraid. The person becomes afraid to try. And that's what that has to be done. America must understand that the left are programmed nincompoops, and they are compelled to intimidate you to strike them first, so that way they can be the defenders. You just wait. We are all going to wait and laugh under our coat quietly. Let them rouse and get upset and do all kinds of things, and we just go on doing what we do and not be troubled by it. And it's very disturbing to them. It's so disturbing to them that they're frightened and they want to stop doing it. They don't know how to stop the pain.
Yes, I believe it is very disturbing to them. Sometimes it's very disturbing to me too.
Is you must learn to meditate, because what you've got is a human version of it, which could only work so far. What you need is to sit still and be still and find the infinite kind of energy that will survive you through your whole life. And every time you come into a situation where people try to intimidate you, they die trying. They literally die trying if they try.
And that is true for people in my imagination too, isn't it?
Well, you don't need an imagination. You just need...
I mean, when I'm meditating for, say, 15 or 20 minutes, sitting still,
That's right.
Sometimes it seems like people come in and try to disturb me and make me feel like that is real.
Well, I didn't understand that, what you just said.
The people...
You don't want to do that in front of people.
No, the people in my imagination sometimes...
No, you don't. The people in your imagination must be washed out by watching it. What I'm saying is, when you found the key to redemption, your thoughts are being come to see your thoughts, and you can see the fault in those faults, in those thoughts. You can see the faults where you couldn't before.
Yes.
And but just by watching it and doing nothing but watch it, as if to say, oh, I didn't see that before. I didn't see that irritation. That you don't have to talk, but you only have to look. And it's a different kind of light that's inside you looking at that, and it makes it go away.
Yeah,
endless loops of thought.
It seems like sometimes they pop in, and then when I see them, they pop out.
Well, I explained that a little better. It
seems like sometimes when I'm sitting for a long time quietly, it seems the people in my imagination just pop in and try to take over.
But all you have to do is not be upset with it. I can guarantee you. It will go away what the spirit inside you wants is to create an image of itself or a thought, a vision, and it becomes real only if you get upset with it. If you look at it, it goes away by itself, it melts. And do that with every one of them, comes up that way until they're all gone.
Well, thank you, Roy. I've been meaning to call you for a long time. I have been a little afraid, but today I overcame my fear.
I'm glad to see you. Sound like you're a very strong young man, and so you have a nice strong voice. God bless you. Are you there, Edna? This is Roy. This is Roy Masters here. Oh, diddly-doo. Is nobody?
Hello.
Hello, Edna.
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you just fine.
Okay, I've been trying to dial this number for about 20 or 25 minutes, and I couldn't get through. So there was something there that didn't want me to call you.
Oh, that's interesting.
I have so many problems, but my biggest problem is I just wouldn't give in, and I wanted to do everything myself. I did not wait for God to come in and help me and to show me. I'm an old lady. I have been listening to you for almost 20, 25 years. My husband introduced me to you years ago, but I didn't listen to you then. I listened to you when I moved to Oregon. And I was always frustrated, angry, and mad, and I didn't know why. I couldn't figure it out why, and I was trying to figure it out. Well, for the last 2 weeks, I sat quietly. And then I realized I was angry that my father, I never knew him. I never sat in his lap. He wasn't there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that's because he didn't have it in him, and I shouldn't be angry with him.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
And that's what happened. And I thought my mother was the best mother in the world.
And she was.
Excellent. And she wasn't. She would put some dinner on and say, okay, you kids mind the house. And she would go to her sister's for the weekend and just leave home. So I never really had a mother's love. So I couldn't wait to get out of the house, get married. I don't know whether I talked my husband into it or what, but he did marry me. I had two children. I did not have the love to give them. And I realized they were like my possessions. I would feed them, dress them, and sit them down and buy them everything they want, but I never gave them the love.
You're a sweetheart. You know that? I see that. You see. That's all that counts. Don't go away.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, Edna, I know who you are. I just recognize your voice. Go ahead.
Because I have talked to you before. I've been to seminars and I've been around.
Oh, dear, what happened? Are you still
there?
Can
you hear me?
Yeah, I can see. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So right now I'm in a position where I have to live in a retirement home because I've been losing things, dropping things, almost set the house on fire. So my daughter said it's best that you go into a place with people your own age, which I did. I'm doing pretty well here. I didn't like it at first, but I have accepted it. My daughter and son-in-law have been above and beyond their duty good to me. They have done everything to make it comfortable for me, and I never realized that. I really took advantage of them. I never told them that how wonderful they were. And I thought I'd have to talk to you about it.
I think it's sweet. I think it's appropriate. Now, you know what you can do now? Be an example to all those people where you're now living.
And okay.
You've been to my seminars a lot. You've seen
yes.
the magic I've done to your
yes.
sons and your daughter-in-law.
Yes.
I think that's the order, I think. And now you have the power in the midst of all those people, older people, to be such a beautiful example and discuss philosophy with them. Wherever
yes.
you can, but don't push it on anybody.
No, I won't.
You just tell them your story. Keep telling them a story about you know what happens when you don't react, and what happens when you do, and that is magical.
Well, on Sunday I says, "Gee, I'd like to go to church." So one lady says, "Why don't you go to my church?" I said, "No." Another lady said, "Go to my church." I said, "She says, don't you believe in God?" I says, "Yes. But my church is Roy Masters." "Oh, my goodness, you believe in him?" "Oh," and they got frustrated and walked away. But that lady has never talked to me again.
Well, you know, it's the way you said it. You said that Roy Masters was a church. If that is true, that is not a good way of saying.
No, I said it isn't a church, but he teaches a way of life.
Yes. But you really don't need to do that. What you need to do is to be the spirit. I think the scripture goes as, "Know you not that you are the spirit? Your body is the spirit of God, and He lives within it." Something like that.
Okay.
"Know you not that your body is something or other, and the spirit of God lives within you." There's a something like that in it. And so you need to be the extension of me, of what is in me, is now in you. And so now you can forget me and go on to just to speak your heart to people and not refer anybody to me necessarily.
Okay.
So
well,
you
thank
have...
you for
You have that power. to hold people the way I held your son and your daughter-in-law, and how they became beautiful, beautiful, beautiful people.
Oh, so, I've seen that in them. They are exceptionally. They stand out among
your
other
son.
People.
Your son is son-in-law. On the board of directors now of the foundation.
Yes.
He's known me for 50 years, and he's come through some terrible times, and he's just a beautiful man.
He is. And I appreciate them both.
Well, so now, but you do what I do and forget me.
Okay. Yes.
You have that spirit and enjoy dealing with people in a proper way to
All
finish
right.
your journey on earth as it is in heaven.
Okay, Roy.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking
me. You've been a difficult customer. Go ahead. God bless you. All right. So this is about basically the end of our 2 hours. Let me give you, I'm always tending to get to the finish line before I give you information where you can reach me and support my work. What I want to do is have enough money to give the meditation, which is simply beautiful, simply brings you to God. And it doesn't force anything on you. It doesn't ask you to learn anything. It only opens you up to what is in me, opening up in you, but not from me. See? And so you don't need my church anymore. You are the church. In the manner of speaking, yes, I am the church. But it's a living thing. And so your example, your ability to deal graciously with people and not losing any energy. But the more love you have, the more love you have. There's never ending to it. Your endurance to the pressures and cruelties of life does not disturb you. It only challenges you to make you a better person. So, ladies and gentlemen, please support my program. I know you're watching them on, if you watch Fox, you have dogs and cats who've been neglected, and they want you to send money for the dogs and cats, when really you should call them up and say, why don't you find the master, the owner of these, and put them in jail? You see, that's what you really need to do. Dogs are dogs, and people are people, and so. But they get a lot of money. I don't. Well, maybe I'm too rush, too pushy. But I don't mean to. Thank you. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Call 800-877-3227. All right. The number 800-877-3227 is weekdays, but we do also have very capable of those on the telephone service that can help you. You can give them the donation you want to give if you want to do it that way. Thank you very much. And my website is fhu.com, Foundation of Human Understanding. Understand we're going to go through the whole world, and we need the money to do that, to give them what you have for nothing, and to let them support me because it works for them. And thank you so much. Have a good evening.
All right, hold on. Let me take a quick segment.